Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A number of years ago, I attended a handicapped awareness workshop. Now, I don't know if that's the politically correct way of speaking today, but that's what they called it then. So over the course of a day and a half or so, we talked about and went through various exercises to try to get a sense of what it's like to have a physical disability. Now, I don't remember everything about it, but I certainly do remember coming away with a better appreciation for the difficulties people with disabilities face, and very thankful for the fact that I don't have any serious disabilities, at least not yet, or none that I know of. Maybe you can tell me more about that, I'm not sure. But in this workshop, we also talked about fears. It shouldn't come as any surprise to people that those with particular disabilities rely much more on other senses. For instance, a person who is hearing impaired relies almost entirely on their sight. And one of the greatest fears they have is that they might lose the ability to see. I think at least two things are true because of this. One, few of us can understand how deep that fear must be. And two, the one who is deaf truly understands how valuable being able to see is. But I think we can understand, or at least begin to understand, that not being able to see would certainly be a great loss. To have to rely on others to drive us from one place to another, or to not be able to see obstacles in our path, that would certainly be inconvenient. And if no one was around, even dangerous. You'd be much more dependent on others for many things, and that's not easy. And what a great loss it would be to not just be able to read any book or to see the beauty of a sunset, a smile on your child's face, or the dew on a flower in the morning or the stars at night. These past few weeks, our gospel readings have spoken about a unique form of blindness, spiritual blindness. For one reason or another, the people around Jesus haven't been able to see him for who he really is. Last week, we heard how Jesus' closest disciples argued over who is the greatest. And Jesus had to open their eyes to the reality that to be great in the kingdom of God means to be least in the eyes of men. The week before that, the gospel reading told of a rich young man who came to Jesus blindly thinking that he'd get a pat on the back and a ticket to eternal heaven to eternal life by showing what a good law keeper he was. But Jesus shed new light on the situation as he opened his eyes to the fact that it's impossible to please God simply by what we do. Again and again, we're confronted by people who have spiritual blind spots. This week's gospel is probably the most explicit on this form of blindness. On the surface, it appears that Jesus is simply healing a blind man. But when you look more closely, it's clear that it's the blind man who sees, and it's the crowd who is blind. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, we read, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." That phrase, "Son of David," tells us that this blind man saw that the Messiah was near. He saw that Jesus was the one whom Isaiah had prophesied, who would come to have mercy on the poor and the brokenhearted and heal their diseases. Now, there may have been some in the crowd who thought Jesus was the Messiah. By this time, many knew about and followed Jesus. In fact, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem at that very time. But most people who thought Jesus was the Messiah thought that he had come as a conquering ruler, one who would establish an earthly political kingdom. And that would explain the crowd's response. Certainly a man as important and powerful as this wouldn't have time for some filthy blind beggar. We know that a physical blind spot can be very dangerous. When you're driving a car, you have to remember, my wife reminds me all the time, that your mirrors don't show everything around you. So you have to turn your head and make sure your blind spot is clear before changing lanes or making certain kinds of turns. And if you don't, the consequences can be pretty unpleasant. But spiritual blind spots can have even greater consequences. Bartimaeus saw Jesus better than anyone else that day. The people in the crowd didn't see Jesus for who he really is. They didn't see Jesus as the one who came to free them from their sins, but the one who would free them from their oppressors. They knew he was a rabbi, unlike other rabbis. He could perform miracles, and his greatest miracle would be to get the Romans off their backs and set Israel back on the world stage. So what about us? What are our spiritual blind spots? Who is Jesus to you? Is he a great miracle worker? Some kind of hocus-pocus magician who deals out spiritual treats as we hold out our empty bags? Think of that when kids come to your door next week. Or maybe our dimmed vision sees him as a great moral teacher who gives us the prime example of how we need to lead our lives. He gives us a spiritual white cane, as it were, so that we might feel our way down the path of life, slowly working our way to God. Or maybe, like those people around Bartimaeus, we see Jesus, who puts us in positions of power in society and with God. I really fear that we often equate the rights and privileges that we have as citizens of this country with our calling as citizens of heaven. We forget that we are Christians who just happen to live in America with all of its privileges and blessings. We did nothing to earn that. We were simply born here. And when those privileges and blessings are threatened, it's easy to become angry, pessimistic, and depressed, or even desperate, despondent, and hopeless. And I think that's been intensified these last couple of years due to COVID. But in what do we place our faith? Our government? Our constitutional rights? Or even our incredible health system? And should we expect to be preserved from suffering simply because we're Christians? Maybe we've forgotten that being a Christian means that just like Jesus, we too bear the cross. Suffering isn't optional. It's expected. And we're able to do that because we know where our real home is. Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but it is who we are. The people in our text believed that they were God's people because they and they alone had been chosen by him. But they didn't know what their real need was. So when Jesus came on the scene with wonders and signs, they believed him to be this glorious one the prophet spoke of, a leader who would establish Israel as a great earthly kingdom. But that wasn't what Jesus had come to do. By what he said and what he did, he showed us his true identity. Jesus is the Son of the living God who did and still does miracles so that we might see who God really is and what he is really like. In our text, Jesus shows us that he is the God of compassion. He comes to a man like Bartimaeus, a man broken by this world and its sin, a man who recognizes there's nothing he can do but fall into the hands of a merciful and loving God. This blind man sees Jesus even before he is healed, as he sees Jesus with the eyes of faith. As Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, we read this. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." Jesus stopped. Those two words tell us a lot about how much God loves us. One man wrote, "The great obstacle that discourages our prayers is the fear that God may be too great, too busy running the universe to be aware of the needs of one individual, someone like me." But in Christ, we have the God who is both the one of whom is proclaimed, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power," the God who created all the stars and the planets and put them in their places. And he is also the Lord who lifts up the humble. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Our God doesn't think it an inconvenience to care for our daily needs as we look to him in faith. So when Bartimaeus called out for mercy, Jesus stopped, and the blind man received his sight. It was a miracle. The people saw it. But did they really? Did they see it, what it was intended to show? See, Jesus came and performed miracles, not just to wow the crowd. He came to show them and us what God's kingdom looks like. When God and his kingdom comes among the people, incredible things happen. People regain their sight, their hearing. Some are even raised from the dead. And all of this is intended to show us that God keeps his promises. And that one day, when Jesus returns as the King of Glory, all the evidences of sin will be no more. There was a miracle here this morning. Did you see it? Little Cora was baptized. A little water was placed on her head in the name of the true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In that moment, she was given new life. A life that will last forever. The guilt of her sin was washed away, and in that moment she became God's beloved daughter. And his promise to her is that he will never leave her. She can walk away from him, yes. That's the sad part of who we are as sinful people. And that's why her faith needs to grow up, to mature. As her parents, as her sponsor, brings her to worship, prays with her, teaches her who Jesus is. But God, he will never desert her. His promises are sure and certain. And they're sure and certain for you. See, that's our greatest need as well. We need to remember that in Christ, we have been given the greatest gift imaginable. We must not be blind to that truth. We need to see Jesus. And our hope lies in the healing of Bartimaeus because Jesus stops for you too. He comes to you, comes to me, comes to heal our blindness, a blindness, sadly, which continues in many ways. When John the Baptist, no less, sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Christ, Jesus told them, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." The blind receive their sight. That's you and me. Day after day, Jesus opens our eyes and lets us see how blind we've really been. He is the Messiah who has ushered in a new age. But what kind of a Messiah is he? Does he show us a powerful conquering hero who takes away all the problems in our life? No. He opens our eyes to a Savior who hangs on a cross. At the foot of that cross, the crowd trying to change Jesus' mind, to convince him there was another way. Save yourself and come down from the cross that we may see and believe. Be the Messiah we want, not the Messiah that you've shown us. And he cried out for mercy. as the weight of our sin crushed him. But unlike Bartimaeus, he received no mercy. He received no mercy, praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He received no mercy so that you and I, by God's grace, would be saved from our sin. The crowd tried to rebuke Bartimaeus to change his mind, but he wouldn't listen to him. He cried out all the more. So must we. When we're put upon, when we're feeling the pain that this world brings, when we're confused, when we don't know what's going to happen next, when we worry about the future, we cry out to Jesus. We must cry out to Jesus. We need to cry out to Jesus because he is the Messiah we need, not just the Messiah we want. And in his mercy, he is the Messiah that we've been given. And now, really, only this remains, that we would tell others he's the Messiah they need to. Amen. Please rise.